folks, before we get started with the homemade broadcast, I want to tell you quickly about NTTFitness.com. What is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you're like me, if you're like most Americans, you're fat, you're lazy, you want food, and you want it now. You're hungry, you're going to go through the Burger King drive-thru, and you're going to get one of those dollar tacos because you want to see what all the fuss is about, and you're disappointed. And you should be. You should be ashamed of yourself. NTT Fitness is a food delivery service, but it's not just food. It's good food, and it's good for you. If you use my code LEVELUP15, you'll get 15% off your first order. There's macros. There's micros. It's stuff you should put in your body. NTTFitness.com. LEVELUP15, 15% off your first order. All right, let's start the show.
Beach Drive, Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you are listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. HMBradio.com is the website. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's right. Doing live streams and stuff on the weekend sometimes if I have some time, which I might have some time here in the very near future. Boy, this COVID thing is, it's getting annoying, isn't it? Can we all agree on that? It's very annoying. God damn. Every few days, oh, I think I might have it. And then you're like, oh, God, now I can't leave the house. A friend of mine, his kid got it. And I saw him that evening when he was over at the house. And then, you know, it's like secondhand. I'm pretty sure I'm fine. But, you know, you never know. I guess it's better safe than sorry with stuff like this because it is a deadly virus. So I've been hibernating this weekend. I'm doing this actually on a Saturday. I'm trying to get this done before freaking USF is playing Notre Dame in football, and I would like to watch that. That's probably our biggest game of the year, so I'm going to try to rush through this. I actually did record some with Anna earlier this week, some very interesting subjects that people are probably going to get mad at me for, so I'm prepared for that. That should be interesting. We're going to get to that in one second. I did want to go over a few things. Holy hell, I almost cursed. This, I don't know if we're going to talk about this maybe more with Anna next week or something. We'll see what happens. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg died yesterday. I guess that was the 18th of September, 2020. And this was the scenario, like, if you're into politics at all, this is the thing that you heard about. Like, what if she passes, you know, just before the election? And, like, what a cluster F that would be. And then that happened. The arbiters and the writers of this simulation that we're living in have really outdone themselves as far as just the entertainment value of 2020, the end of the world or whatever it is. I cannot believe that that happened. I mean, we are literally, what, 40-something days away from the 2020 election? Now, if you remember in 2016, we had a similar thing happen. Obama was about to leave office, and Mitch McConnell blocked the Supreme Court justice pick Merrick Garland from the vote. So it never happened. And back in 2000, and I think it was 13, the thing that allowed him to do that, I think, was Harry Reid changing the rules in the Senate. And now there is no filibuster that they can do. So the administration is going to rush through this pick, They're going to sit, because I think they're afraid that they're not going to win. Trump is not going to win a second term. McConnell might be gone. So they're like, screw it. We're all in. We're going to sit this justice and sway the court conservative for, I mean, years and years to come. I think the pick is going to be Amy Barrett. It's a lady. It's going to be tough to bring up sex allegations against the lady. But you know what I think they're going to do, though? I think they're going to go with she's racist. That's what I think is going to be coming out. Somebody's going to come forward and say that she abused her clerks or past clerks or something with racial slurs or something like that. I think that's going to be the thing. It won't work. The judge will get rushed through. Amy Barrett will be the new Supreme Court Justice of the United States just before the election. Crazy, dude. Absolutely insane. You know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's a hero to a lot of people, especially women in this country. She had a great career, a historic career. And, you know, I feel bad for my friends. They're just losing their minds over this. But, I mean, we're already seeing, like, corporate press start to freak out about this, threatening riots. Laura Bassett, who is a, who does she write for? She writes for GQ. She writes for the Washington Post, Rolling Stone, Cosmopolitan, HuffPost alumni, co-founder of Save the News. She threatened that if Mitch McConnell rushes through the pick, there will be riots, meaning she and her cronies in the press will write articles, agitation propaganda to get people out on the streets to cause more riots. We're already dealing with riots. You know, at this point, I don't know what that will do exactly, but it is a vague threat a little bit. And I'm sure she would say, no, of course not. I don't mean it like that. I'm just saying there will be. Yeah, but they come from all this action that's on the streets comes from media reporting. And we know how media slants. And they do it shamelessly now. And the mass, and they have nothing to lose. Everybody is all in. That's an interesting thing about this history in the making moments right now is that everybody's, whatever side you're on, they are cashing in all their chips. It's all in. The river card's coming up, and we're going to see what happens in November. But Mitch McConnell will push through this pick, and they're going to have Amy Barrett and a conservative court for many, many years to come. Also, another point I didn't think about, they don't want anybody to sit on the Supreme Court until after the election. It's too close because that's what they did to Merrick Garland, et cetera. I get it, but this guy, John Fund is his name. I didn't even think about this. So everybody's voting by mail because of COVID, or at least not everybody, but a lot of people will be voting by mail. So if something happens where this goes, the election is contested, which it will be, absolutely. Hillary Clinton has told Joe Biden, do not concede under any circumstances. Trump will not concede if it's one of those things where it's really close on election night. If there's not a clear winner, then they're going to demand that the mail-in votes be counted. And this is going to go on for a long time. And it will absolutely go to the Supreme Court, as it did with Bush versus Gore back in, when was that, 2000? So if there's 9 judges in the court, if there's only 8, it can't end in a tie. They're going to need that deciding vote. They're going to have to sit a judge in order to rule that. And that's insane. That's just like this. You can't write this narrative any more exciting if you're into politics at all. This is, you know, depending on how you look at it, it's either the worst thing or the best thing in the world. I tend to look at I'm taking the white pill on this. I think it's great. I think this is going to be fantastic. Harry Reid, of course, changed the rules back in 2013 to consider filibuster reform, and now he's paying the price for it. And we're seeing it. Mitch McConnell said, you're going to pay for this. He said it right out in front on C-SPAN. Here's a clip of Mitch McConnell 2013 after Harry Reid's filibuster reform.
Once again, Senate Democrats are threatening to break the rules of the Senate. Break the rules of the Senate. In order to change the rules of the Senate. And over what? Over what? Over a court that doesn't even have enough work to do? The majority leader promised. He promised. Over. And over again. That he wouldn't break the rules of the Senate in order to change them. If you want to play games, set yet another precedent that you'll no doubt come to regret. Say to my friends on the other side of the aisle, you'll regret this, and you may regret it a lot sooner than you think.
Boy, and now are they. Boy, are they going to regret it, because this is going to happen. There's nothing that they could do about it. Here's Harry Reid in 2013 talking about this fear that they might do this at some point.
You heard Republicans will just get rid of the filibuster on the Supreme Court anyway?
Let them do it. Why in the world would we care? We were trying to protect everybody. I mean, they want simple majority, fine.
Sorry.
I mean, all these threats about we're going to change the rules more. As Senator Schumer said, what is the choice? Continue like we are or have democracy?
There you go. That's it. It's done. So they will push this through. I was talking to my stepdad the other day. He's just got into gun ownership, which scares the crap out of me. But he's like, "Ah, yeah, let's go shooting." I go, "Yeah, that'd be great. But I want to keep all the ammunition that I can, because I don't know what the hell is going to happen. You cannot find it online. There's nowhere to find it. I looked everywhere. Everywhere's sold out. You have to go to a gun show or something in order to get it, and you're going to pay a fortune for it. I'm going to wait and see, but this is going to happen. There's nothing they can do about it. You know, girls freaking out on Barstool Sports, screaming and yelling in their cars, journalists having hissy fits. It's going to happen, folks. This is a reality. 2020 has been a hell of a year, and it's going to conclude with a bang, hopefully figuratively and not literally.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
813-693-2124, HMBRadio.com. That's how you can reach me, any of the subjects we're talking about here today. You can get at me on Twitter, Instagram, home_made_man. If you're enjoying this program, I would ask that you consider going to HMBRadio.com/donate. There is my Venmo and my PayPal. If you're enjoying the program and you want to tip me for dancing for you, that would be great. No pressure. You do not have to at all. This is a free show. I do it because I like doing it. However, this is the trend now, so I fought it for a long time, but this is how people do things. And thank you to Jason Lashua for throwing me some beer money this week. I do appreciate that, and I will put it to good use. I asked him if I could use it for bourbon instead of beer, and he said yes, so that's what I will do. HMBRadio.com/donate. Also, thank you very much to Truvy Salon and Spa. TRUV is in Victory Y, salonandspa.com. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. I know Michael, my buddy Michael, I talked to on Instagram. He got his girlfriend a gift card there not too long ago, and I hope she enjoyed herself. I'm sure she did, because Chrissy loves her job. She loves doing hair, and she loves her shop, and she puts great care in it. And I think you're going to like it, too. Make your appointment today at Truvy, T-R-U-V is in Victory, Y, Salon, and Spa.com. I think I'm still high a little bit.
Yeah?
Still, I got peer pressured into smoking marijuana yesterday. I took one hit off a joint.
I didn't think peer pressure really affected you,
It doesn't.
Unless you're drunk.
I have to be open to the concept at hand.
Yeah.
If it's something I'm absolutely opposed to,
okay,
no chance,
like gay sex,
right? That okay. You cannot you peer pressure that? Me into
Come
no
on,
I think
it's
I would
fun.
Say
All
no
the cool kids are doing
okay,
it.
Okay, I'll try.
That was easy.
No, it has to be like I used to smoke a lot of marijuana, and then I grew up,
yeah,
and I stopped smoking marijuana, and then I started actually completing tasks and getting things done, and it's something I want to come back to.
Me too. I was just thinking about that.
It's just, it's so potent and so strong. And I swear I took that one hit, and I was like, that's good. It didn't mess me up entirely,
yeah, no.
But if I would have taken two hits
yeah.
of this marijuana.
Here's the thing. Marijuana, the game has changed from your 20s to your 30s. In your 20s, you just want to get as high as you possibly can and laugh, and you get the munchies and you giggle. But now it's like, it helps you with your ailments. Like I was talking to one of my coworkers today. I was like, I want to start taking either like a CBD or a CBD THC sort of a tincture. I think that's what you call it, right?
Yeah.
Before I go to bed, because I think I'll get more restful sleep. Now that's how my brain is working. I don't even want to be awake for my high. I want it so I can pass out faster.
Right.
You know, that's the difference between 20s and 30s getting high in marijuana, at least how I see it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I slept really well last night. I slept like a brick. I didn't wake up.
Because you took after you smoked a joint, yeah. You then took a, what you call a marijuana tablet.
Marijuana tablet.
Which makes it sound super cool.
Yeah, I actually got that from Mean Girls.
I know, from Tim Meadows.
From Tim Meadows, right. Yeah. Has your teacher ever sold you something or marijuana tablets? I can't remember what the first thing he said was, but.
I like calling him that.
I got
boomerized
these,
it.
Yeah, I got these these gummy bears that a friend of mine gave me, and they've been sitting in my fridge. I don't know. They've been sitting in my fridge for years, and I'll take like one every like 6 months now at this point.
Okay.
So I figured since I had engaged in the activity of smoking Jangus, that I would just go ahead and take this full and throttle. Watch a movie, and then just, you know, it's Sunday, you want to wind down.
Yeah.
You know, I watched the Bucks play, and I needed something after watching them play because it didn't go very well.
Yes, I did check the score. That's as far as I went.
So I figured, this would be a good opportunity since I'm kind of still a little loopy to just end the task, and then I'd wake up tomorrow and be fine. I think I still have some residue on me or something, but I slept so good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it was like a brick. Yeah. And I, at one point in my dream, I was in some sort of place that wasn't mine. And I had just woken up in the dream. So I'm like, I think you're still asleep, dude. Like I was telling myself this. Mm-hmm. I was like, you got to wake yourself up. You're sleeping too late. You got stuff to do today.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally was able to like shake myself into waking and actually get up.
I had a horrifying dream. I don't want to say a horrifying dream because that sounds mean. But everyone at work was telling me that I'm a closeted homosexual.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with being gay, folks. I'm 100% for whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when everybody is telling you you're a certain thing, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure, you know, I like wiener. I mean, as far as I know, even though it's been very unsuccessful lately, doesn't mean that my target is any different. And that night, after everybody, like, we had callers calling in. This is not my day job or my only job. My coworkers, you know, the host of the show, everybody's clowning me, dogging me. Oh, you like women. I had a dream where I was stealing. I was driving drunk and I had sex with a fat biracial chick in a shower.
Wow.
Like, I could even detail like what her hair looked like. It was very specific.
Damn.
And it was so vivid that when I woke up, I was really disoriented and my roommate was like, "What happened?" And I'm like,
"You're raped in your dream."
I'm like, "I just want to make sure, like, I was here all night. I didn't do anything crazy." She's like, "Yeah, everything's good." I'm like, "That was just a way too vivid dream for me."
Your brain raped you. Your subconscious. Yeah.
It sure did. It absolutely did. So why are you so hesitant to reintroduce marijuana back in your life? Are you feeling like you may regress back to what you used to do in your
20s? Yeah, well, maybe. Well, no, I think I could control it better now. I still have work to do. So okay. I want to get that done first, which is have a successful, you know, radio or some sort of
like
job.
Big task, like not just like a day job, like day to-do list.
If I completed my work over the past decade, it would be to land a radio position that paid me money, that I would have weekends off, and I would just have my one job, and that would be that radio job. And then I think I could, if like I didn't have anything to do at night, you know, then you just maybe take a few hits off a bizzle or something.
Excuse me?
That's a bowl, but I hipped it up a little bit. A marijuana smoking device.
That's cultural appropriation, and I do not appreciate it in my presence.
Sorry. But I think I would come back to it then, but like I said, I would have to have the task completed that I've been working on.
Can I ask you a scary question that you've probably thought about that haunts you every night? What do you think the future of terrestrial radio even looks like?
Oh, man. I don't know. I think it's going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
It still seems to be viable. As of right now, I mean, the positions in the business, they're not handing them out anymore like they used to. Like I've heard people, old school radio people here that just wanted to be in the business, and they were looking for people to, because you had to like do the reel to reel transfers and start records and put in
there
new
was a
tapes.
Lot more manual work.
Yeah. And so they would be like, "Hey, can I have a job, you know, overnight?" So they'd be like, "Yes, please God, get in here." And they would actually like pay you a decent wage and. So things are moving into the...
Everything automated,
everything computerized, and including, you know, it's going to be very common to have, especially on music stations, scripts written that computers read, and you don't even know it's not a real person. And I won't be surprised if that moves into the realm of talk radio, too, to a certain extent, where it's algorithms write dialogue.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would be successful because there is a human aspect that I think is needed with stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But I guarantee you they're going to try if they can save money.
The technology is on its way, is what you're saying.
If they can create digital personalities, that we can have, like, you just put in...
you don't have to pay a robot.
You don't have to pay a robot, right? Mm-hmm. You just have to pay the software, buy it. Sure,
but once it's there, it's there.
So you plug in, like, let's say Bucks lost their first game.
Yeah.
You put in, like, topics, mm-hmm. and then the computers talk about it. Runs dialogue
creepy,
with each other.
But certainly, again, AI is progressing very rapidly. Yeah. Here's the thing with talk radio now is, at least, like, terrestrial local radio, I think we all know that it's burning out, you know? But the one thing that was really keeping it grounded, at least from my perspective, was the local factor, right?
Yeah, I think that's still relevant now.
It is, but it's like, and I was talking with a few other people about this, but like coronavirus, COVID-19 has really kind of sped up the process where there's really nothing local going on anymore.
Oh, that's not true. There's tons of local stuff. I mean, like sports being back, there's always local stories.
No, but I mean, in terms of like meet and greets and stuff that you would meet your local radio personalities, like anybody can talk about the Bucks and anybody can talk about the sports from a distance.
Promo events,
but in terms of like, yeah, hey, come out and meet us and meet the personalities, this, that, and the
other.
Be back.
Once a vaccine comes around, it might be a while, but it'll come back.
You think so? In the same force, you don't think that it's going to be kind of like a 9/11 thing where certain things are just not going to go back to normal?
No, I think promo gigs will be back, certainly, no doubt, because it's such an integral part of the business. You know, the radio stations like it because they could send out people to places. Businesses,
I mean, I get
like
why
it to have
they
people.
Like it. I'm just saying that...
It's a win-win for every...
No, absolutely, yeah. But with just the precautions that people will want to be taking from here on out. I think things, again, I don't know. I can't see into the future, but I think that even after like coronavirus is over, I'm sure you'll still see people with masks at very crowded events and things like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that would probably be
maybe they will reduce the amount of capacity. So instead of, you know, 100%, say is 200 people in a space, maybe they drop it down to like 125 or something like that, even when things resume to normal. So I'm not quite sure. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to scare you or anything like that.
I think those things will return, and I don't think there'll be any sort of long term ding on things like that.
I heard Fauci. I mean, again, these are just predictions by, you know, and it depends who you talk to. I get it, but he's kind of like the leader of this, not the leader of the CDC, but in terms of like the recommendations of what we should be doing, he's kind of like the leading force behind all that. Mm-hmm. I heard him say that if he were to predict when things will go back to normal like they were pre-pandemic, he's saying the middle to late 2021. That's what he's predicting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's pretty wild. But bars were 50% open today in Florida, which is good.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't think I'll go to a bar, but yeah, it's good to have the freedom to do that.
Been to one.
Well, yeah, I went to one with you, and I probably wouldn't do that again.
Oh, okay.
Because
so
I got sick. We went.
Corona.
No, I didn't have COVID-19, but I went and got tested for it and came back negative, but I just had like a summer head cold or something, but that was, and you know, I don't know if it came from going to that bar to watch that fight.
Sure, but
that's really the only place in public that I was, so I'm assuming that's where it came from, and I'm just not super comfortable.
I get you.
I wouldn't be super comfortable drinking in a bar. I'm okay with going and sitting somewhere outside.
Okay.
I've done that, you know,
but not in a closed
bunch.
Space where people are vaping in front of you.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go ahead and pass on that. But, I mean, I'm glad that they're opening back up, you know, for business sake, too, for a lot of these people. I don't know if it's going to be enough of a kick, like having 50% capacity. Number one, how are they going to enforce that? I know they have the fire marshal go around and like check every once in a while in different places, randomly stop by, but
they'll make examples out of a few people, I think is what they'll do.
Yeah.
That's the only way is to be like, I don't want that to happen to me. Like,
it's just
but then
you're
going to find people that were closed for 6 months. Like,
right. Exactly. And then put them out of business potentially. Yeah. And they're already going out of business. I don't know. And it's just one of those, I know DeSantis was talking about how it's just a line in the sand, you know, it's an arbitrary, mm-hmm. like 50%. Why 50 and not 60 or
why
18, not
40, you know,
why 25,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And you know, the World Health Organization is saying 3 feet, you know, for the social distancing, you know, CDC is saying 6 feet.
Some people are saying like 12.
And then I've heard other
26.
Stories, 30 feet,
yeah.
Like it's not necessarily going to help you. So I'm not sure if these protocols really even do anything. I'm sure they're better than nothing, but I mean, if it turns out that it is for naught and like we shut everything down and did all these things, then I hope we just learn from this experience for prepare ourselves for the next one of these when it inevitably does happen. I mean, it's definitely going to happen again.
Absolutely. I'm not really one for talking about sports, but I do really like sports fan psychology, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday was the second day of football, right? Because there was a Thursday game.
Yeah, right. Okay. So week one, they call it. Yeah.
Guys, I miss sports, okay? I'm gonna tell you about sports. I'm going to tell you about football. Yeah. It was the first Sunday football fun day, okay, was yesterday. Now, I didn't care to watch the games because I'm very apathetic when it comes to sports, but I just wanted to know if the Bucks won, and I asked Siri at the end of the night, Siri, did the Bucks win? And she goes, no. And she showed me the score. They lost, I believe, against the Saints.
Yeah.
Is that right?
They got their butts kicked, yeah.
Now, for you, you're a lifelong Bucks fan.
Yep.
I saw you were posting a lot of Bucks stuff.
Oh, yeah, very excited.
Watching
yeah.
the game. I know, like, you and our friend Johnny really into football. And you got Tom Brady considered the GOAT, the greatest of all time, quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
How devastating was that loss for you? Now, or is it one of those, like, listen, I heard people saying it today. Oh, listen, Brady usually loses the first game of the season, then he's back on his feet and he goes to the Super Bowl. Were those some of the things that were going through your mind?
I had picked the Saints to win that
game.
Really? Yeah, for a
Why
few reasons.
Is that now the Saints are quarterbacked by Drew Brees.
That's correct.
Because I know things. He has a big doo-doo birthmark on his face.
He did. He got it cut off, I noticed. But now he's just got a weird, huge scar there. It's still better than a doo-doo, though.
Oh, do you think it was cancerous or something? Or
I don't know.
Probably
maybe
was.
Maybe cosmetic, too. He's got doo-doo on his face. Just cut it off. You're rich.
I mean, he would have gotten done a long time ago if it was cosmetic, right? I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't know.
So how did that leave you feeling? Or why? Tell me why you predicted that win.
I predicted the Saints to win because, number one, they're playing in New Orleans. Now, they had no crowds because of COVID-19, so, but it's still an advantage just to be playing in your home stadium.
I thought it was all about home team advantage was like fan base.
Yeah, I think it is, but it's just like not having to travel. There's just other variables that you don't have to do, so it's always a slight edge to the home team.
Yeah,
no
and they kind of relate it to war. I know that sounds weird, but when you're defending your own territory, you're likely to have an advantage.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, so that, and also the Saints are a very good team. And I don't follow football as closely as I used to. Like, now that I don't play fantasy football and stuff, I don't even know.
Why is that? Is that because you're poor?
I just don't want to. I'm an adult. I just don't want to do
that
it
That is the most mature thing I've ever heard a man say. Because people go ape-ass over fantasy football.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just not my thing anymore. I just have other things to do. Not slighting anyone that does it. I get it. It's
like have sex with girls.
Yeah. So I don't really know the players as much, and I don't really want to keep track of the Bucks now. But I know nationally that the Saints are in the conversation to win the Super Bowl this year. They're a very good team.
Aren't they always?
They've been, over the past decade, a solid, solid team, and they make the playoffs a lot. But I think the mood of the world was like Tom Brady came here to Tampa. They got all these stud players that came in, and I just think the Bucks were going to be a little bit too on their high horse and thinking that they're going to be unbeatable. And they came out, Tom Brady's first drive, they looked really, really good. And I was like,
Gronk's playing too, right?
This is going to be all season. Gronk's there,
Wow.
So it's exciting, And they came out like gangbusters that first drive, and then you found out where the weaknesses were.
Was it the defense?
That team. It was
our defense.
No, it was more offensive line. The offensive line didn't give Brady enough time. Tom Brady threw a couple picks that it was surprising to see him throw. Because
now, when you say picks, you
interceptions.
Mean throws. Intercept. Yeah. So a pick is when someone picks it
off
the air.
Yeah, picks it off from the air. And
picks
it's a
it off
defensive
from the air,
player.
Folks. If you didn't know what pick means, now you do. You're welcome.
So, they just didn't really look that good. And I think a lot of that is he's on a brand new team. He had to learn a whole new system. And they also didn't get any real playing time against other teams. Preseason was canceled.
Yes. I heard men talking about that this morning. I was kind of listening a little bit.
And you saw that. There was some sloppy play all across the league I don't think that would have happened. And usually they're off to a little bit slower of a start.
Mm.
But then, week two, three, four, they're back in the swing of things.
Okay.
You know?
Do you think that it's going to get better from here, or do you predict?
I think it'd be better. I think the Bucks are still going to do very well this season. I think they're going to make the playoffs, and they might
playoffs
go deep
into the playoffs.
Playoffs
is top eight?
Yeah.
Stop aid, folks. Yeah. See, I know things. That was kind of a question, kind of a statement, depending on which direction it was going to go.
So I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to figure it out. But I think it's going to be a good thing that they lost that game against
Humbles
the Saints.
Them, or
I think it's going to be a slice of humble pie and saying that, yes, you are the Cinderella of the league. Everybody's talking about you. Everybody loves you. High expectations. But you better work, you know, for those.
Better work, bitch.
Yeah. It's not going to be easy. And I think they got shown that by the Saints. I think it's going to be a good thing. I think they'll remember this all season.
Okay.
You want to come out, you know, 1-0, obviously. Yeah. You want to start with the win. But I think this will humble them.
Okay.
A lot. And I've heard, I think it was O.J. Howard say that in an interview, that it was a piece of humble pie. We're going to get back out there and work mm-hmm. and get better. So,
who is a wide receiver?
He is a tight end. He does catch the ball, though.
Does touch the ball. There you go. Now, did this ruin your day when they lost, or you were so high you didn't care?
Mostly, I was mostly full of pizza and chicken wings,
nice.
And I had a few vodka sodas, and then I had one hit of Jengus.
Nice.
So I was in a good mood, and like I said, I expected them to lose, so I wasn't like, you know, shocked by it or anything. I was hoping that I was wrong.
Yeah.
But I figured it would be the case. So no, it's not concerning. I know my stepfather texts me, he goes, I'm done. I'm done with the season. I go, okay, well, do what you have to do. I'm not, and I'm still very excited about the season. I think they're going to be very good. But, yeah, it might be a little bit of a slow start.
Look at us talking about sports.
Yeah, way to go.
I feel good about myself right now.
Yeah, you did great.
I was thinking about, as I was avoiding anybody and any person watching sports yesterday, it was great. I went for a run down Tampa. I saw four people. We were running in the rain, and it was raining, also, you know, Sunday football day.
Tom Brady making his Bucks debut.
Nobody was out. But I remember just thinking, like, again, God, I wish that I could feel something. Mm-hmm. Like, think about, like, something that you can't learn, you don't care about, like, you're super apathetic, that a lot of people do. Is there anything like that where you're just like, I just don't have the... the drive. I don't have the, I just can't get myself to care. Like, there's
things
just
that other people care about. I don't know, like the Kardashian show or things
so
like that.
Fashion.
The Bachelor.
Right. But okay. I guess sports is like way more widespread than that, but it's one of those things where like, I saw pictures of all my friends and their jerseys and the Bears jersey and the Packers and the Bucks and they're so excited. And I'm like, God, I wish I felt something inside.
Protest, maybe protesting. I don't know.
Not so much.
I'm not into it. A lot of people are, though.
Yeah, a lot
of
people
do it every week.
It. Yeah. Let's talk about who you're voting for.
Okay, so I told you this off air, and I had to figure out a way to talk about this. But now I don't know how you feel about this, and this is all alleged rumors and alleged
about a friend.
But perhaps I got offered to sell my body in prostitution to vote for a particular candidate.
Okay.
Now, and obviously morally, this is not, I don't even know if it's right or wrong at a certain point. My plan was to sit this one out because I'm very apathetic about the scenario. And I think the only winning move for this election is not to play. And I know a lot of people disagree with that. I had, you know, some friends step in and, oh, you need to participate in democracy. No, I don't. I don't know if
it's
I believe in democracy, anymore.
It's a republic, so
yeah.
Shut up.
Well, yeah, you vote. And
for someone to represent you.
You know, Socrates was against democracy, too, so I feel a little bit better.
What was
about
he preaching for?
He wanted, which I guess you could argue is the case, he wanted the method of democracy, but who's able to vote. So right now, everybody's able to vote.
It's a scary, slippery slope about who decides who gets to vote.
He wanted people to vote who were educated about voting, not just the masses. And I guess you could argue that he got his wish with universities and the university system in America and across the world now. But a lot of people don't attend university.
And just because you go to university doesn't mean you're an educated person.
Oh, yeah, I think you could argue that, especially today. Yeah, especially today. Right. I think a lot of these kids go into the university systems and come out dumber than when they went in. I think that's absolutely true. And not only that, but indoctrinated with theories that aren't even proven.
Mm-hmm.
And it just becomes, you know,
swampland.
A way of life for a lot of people. And that happens a lot. So I guess you could argue that. But I'm not sure if I'd want to participate. And having heard this, I was talking to some friends of mine. And one offered me allegedly, to vote for a candidate that I would be paid to vote for.
How much?
$200,
oh,
allegedly.
Oh.
$200. They asked me, like, how much it would cost to buy my vote, and I said $1,000.
Mm.
And then this person allegedly said, is this negotiable? And I said, well, what do you got? And then he went down to, you know, single digits. I'm like, nah, come on, dude. This is not how negotiation
works. $9? Get out of here.
I mean, I guess it's worth a shot, you know, when you're negotiating, you start and you meet in the middle. And somehow we ended up on $200 to vote for this particular candidate.
And you didn't shake on this, did
you? Didn't shake on it. I agreed to it, but
considered.
I have to send proof that I did this, obviously, in order to get the money. So I'll have to wait for my mail-in ballot if, you know, allegedly this did happen.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not sure. I don't know what to do.
Can we break this down a little bit? Can we analogize? Is that a word? Make an analogy to prostitution, right?
Right.
Now, prostitution, forget about like Las Vegas and the few places that it is legal.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the state of Nevada. Anyways, yeah. Prostitution, let's just say, is an illegal institution. You're not allowed to prostitute your body for sex, but you can make porn in the United States and pay the entertainers, but the money isn't really coming from the consumer. I mean, I guess it could if you're like doing OnlyFans, but let's just say if something is going on like Pornhub, the producers, they make money from advertising.
It's a company paying you instead of an individual.
But, yeah. And then the individual can consume the porn, watch people having sex.
Mm-hmm. Or even be in it, I think theoretically. You could be in the porno, pay the person, and then distribute it. And it's still part of a company. It's like a shell corporation.
But the person who's viewing the porn, the masses, they're not paying for it, at least most of the time, right? But it's not the consumer that's paying for it. Because that's the difference between the prostitute. Because I've looked this up before because it makes no sense. So a John can't pay a woman for prostitution or male, whatever. But if you want to... Or if you want to pay for porn, you're allowed to do that because you're not the one actually having sex with the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it's not prostitution. I think that's the loophole. So we can try to make it the same thing. So if, say, a candidate paid you to vote for them, that would be not okay.
Right.
That would be analogous to prostitution.
That's voter fraud, yeah.
If somebody else is paying for your vote... That is not the candidate. Would that be then okay by standards if we're comparing this to prostitution?
So allegedly, if that would to be the case, I don't know. It seems like it's the same. That seems like that would be a good analogy, what you just said.
Yeah.
That it would somehow.
So you're participating in porn, but not prostitution.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it is the same thing, really. These are just loopholes and little scenarios you could come up with that kind of.
I don't think it's a. Here's the thing. Like, if a candidate promises you, if you vote for me, you're going to get free college,
mm-hmm.
and you vote for that person.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because it's not an explicit, like, you're going to get this amount of money for voting for me,
mm-hmm.
even though it is kind of like you're promised either monetary or, like, some sort of services rendered if they get elected. Because it's not explicit, is that the difference? Because that's what people are trying to...
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's a pitch, right? You're pitching to the public, hey, vote for me, you're going to get this. Vote for me, you're going to get rights. You're going to get free college. You're going to get free health. Whatever it is. They're pitching you. They're trying to sell you that they're going to be the best candidate.
Mm-hmm.
But
and it's a service.
Monetary? Right.
It's like, it's not... It's saying it's free, which nothing's free. I hate when politicians say these things. It comes from tax dollars. It comes from printing money. At the Federal Reserve, it's not free. It's something we'll put on a credit card or directly pay for from taxpayers. But it's a smart way to put it. So it's free to you type thing.
Right.
It'll be, you know, you'll go to school for free. Andrew Yang was promising $1,000 a month.
Right, for IBU.
Universal Basic Income, UBI.
UBI.
Yeah.
I always call it like IUD.
And that's kind of like a direct cash payment right there. I think that falls into the difference between prostitution and pornography too. I mean, he's promising you, I'm going to get you $1,000 a month under my policy that will come from same thing, putting it on a credit card or.
But I guess
taxpayer.
It's a little bit different because even if you didn't vote for him, you would still benefit from it.
You'd still benefit from it.
You know,
it, right.
Where it's not just like,
it's a policy position.
Everybody that voted for me gets this money. It's just everybody would get this money.
Right. Right. Yeah. I guess that would be a difference too.
I guess that would make a difference.
But I mean, still promising you, hey, this looks pretty sweet. If you vote for me, $1,000 a month.
It's interesting how that works.
So I'm unsure if this scenario is real, what I would do in this case. I mean, it would be a, I think I would get more out of this vote than any vote I've ever made in my entire
100%.
Life. You know, with $200, I can get me a lot. I'm, now your vote I'm
kinda,
poor.
Your vote kind of means a little bit more in Florida because we are a purple state. We're a swing state. Yeah, so yeah, it's not like true. You're voting in California or New York. Like this would right. actually matter.
Yeah.
A little more.
I, you know.
For $200, yeah. Who the F cares?
I mean, I kind of feel that way. And I know that there are some people stuck in that binary. And I understand it, too, of... And the candidates are saying it, that this is the most important election ever. They say that every time.
They always say
that. Yeah. They do. But it's been hyped up so much by press. And people look at their news sources that they listen to. And they go, this is a matter of... life and death at this point. I mean, they literally do believe that. Yeah. I saw Biden talking today that, you know, these wildfires that are engulfing the West Coast are maybe not Donald Trump's fault right now, but if he gets another 4 years, it's going to get worse. Climate change is going to get worse, and, you know, the whole country will literally be in flames. I mean, you talk about fear tactics.
Mongering, yeah.
These are just perfect examples of that. And then you see people go, you know, that Trump is a fear monger, which I guess he is in some occasions too, because he'll say things like Joe Biden wants to, you know, take away your guns or something, which I don't know, just something, anything. Defund the police. Right. That's a better example because I'm pretty sure Biden doesn't want to take your guns. So I mean, that's part of politics is fear mongering.
Sure.
All that stuff.
And you're trying to persuade the public to vote for you. Like, how else do you do it other than saying, this is what you're going to benefit by getting me in office?
My feeling from, you know, the research that I've done, things that I've listened to, is that this is all a carefully constructed narrative that kind of, it's to keep some two unpleasant parties that are the same sides of the different coin in power.
Mm-hmm.
Different sides of the same coin.
There you go.
Right. So I don't know if it matters too much. Like I've heard people say, you know, that if Biden wins, that, you know, Antifa will take over and communism will take over. I don't think, believe me, if Biden wins, I think he will send in the National Guard and stop this crap. I don't think he would condemn Trump if he did that right now and say that he's a dictator, blah, blah, blah.
Of course.
Use it to their advantage. And he would be cheered by the press for doing that. But I just don't think, I think Joe Biden's a law and order dude. I don't think things would change that much.
He is, and he's a moderate at the end of the day.
They promise a lot of things. They promise these policies.
Listen, once you're in office, it's a whole different game, you know?
Yeah.
And nothing is contracted. It's so funny. There's no written contract that says, when I get elected, I'm going to do this. It's just words.
Yeah.
It's just words.
It's just words. And I know some people are listening to this and screaming their head off right now and going like, no, but... you have to vote for Biden or you have to vote for Trump. He will do these things, but I think it's really just a scare tactic. And I don't really think it's going to matter who is president of the United States, how it affects your day-to-day life. Local politicians are going to do way more to you personally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just kind of would like to get rid of this duopoly. I don't know if you heard anything about Brett Weinstein's.
Yeah. Evolutionary psychologist.
Yeah.
He's
got this Unity 2020 platform he's trying to push right now, which is interesting. He believes that both of these candidates are bad, and his idea is to get rid of that binary of the lesser of two evil vote, which I understand that.
So what is he suggesting?
He wants to draft two people from the two sides of that coin that he believes would be the best one. They put like an online poll up, and the winners were Dan Crenshaw, a congressman from Texas, guy with the eye patch.
I know who he is.
The Republican, and Tulsi Gabbard as the Democrat, that they would run under the same ticket. And somehow they would rule together, or not rule, I guess that's a wrong word, but be president together type of thing. And they would switch every year of who's the president, who's the vice president. And they would have to, there's strong incentive, and he did this through game theory, to cooperate with each other rather than... be divisive.
Defective.
Huh?
That's the opposite of cooperation, is defective.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So that's his idea, and his idea is to draft get one of the Libertarians or the Green Party who have ballot access to give up their candidates, you know, and put Tulsi and Dan in.
Together.
So they can get national ballot access and be a viable candidate.
Interesting. Like one would be president, one would be vice, or they'd be like co-presidents.
I think it's, he said it switches. So 1 year it's Dan, next year it's Tulsi, and it's 4 years. So they each get a year. And there, but there's strong incentive to them to kind of work together,
right? And do policies. And they both seem like very reasonable, middle of the aisle people.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, Tulsi's pretty far left on economic issues. She's really good on other things. Mm-hmm. They're both military veterans.
Yeah.
I think they would make a good team if that happened, where they somehow got on the ballot. I'd probably be like, say, screw that. It. Why not? Let's try that out instead.
All right. So let's go back to the original question. Is your vote for sale? Is this alleged person's vote for sale?
Well, allegedly the current bidding is $200.
Okay.
And I'm just saying I'm accepting offers.
Okay. All right.
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen in November. But if you're interested, you can tweet at me home_made_man. If you have perhaps a proposition for me.
I honestly, this sounds terrible. It feels icky, but I really don't think it's that wrong. Like, you got to do what you got to do,
I thought the same thing. I'm not really happy about it, but it's something that I might have just thrown away for $0. Mm-hmm. If I'm getting some sort of incentive from it directly.
Right.
To me, it seems like I should at least think about it.
Absolutely.
There you go. 813-693-2124. How do you feel about that? I feel like that is controversial. Prostituting yourself. Not your body, not even your brain, but your agency. That is a conundrum, isn't it? 813-693-2124, hmb-radio.com, home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. Facebook is still around, too. Facebook.com/hmb-radio, all one word. Follow Radio St. Pete while you're there. Radio, STPE. T-E, same thing on Instagram and Twitter for them. And with that, I will leave you. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I do appreciate it. Head over to hmbradio.com/donate if you want to. If you don't blame you. I'm prostituting myself. So have a good week. My name is Will Kuhn. Stay tuned if you're listening on Radio St. Pete. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. Have a good one. I love you. Talk to you soon. Thanks, Truby Salon Spa. Thanks, NTT Fitness. Go visit them. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.